are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci here with you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Tweets are flying in today. Obviously, people are very interested to talk about this. And I think one of the really good ones is from Kelly is the best on Twitter. She says, "We are not dumb fans. We get it, but we are tired of hearing, quote, next year. It's not the trade. It's the starting over again and again." And I think that is the most real, most on the money, most a perfect summation of even those who understand the trade. And I understand the trade, but I feel the same way too, because this is a new regime. So now they're doing this. What if this doesn't work out? Then it's going to be a new regime and it's going to be starting over again. And I think people in Cleveland just want some stability. And I think that this is another kind of bump in the road on the path to that stability. And hopefully, I fully believe, I think these are some smart people in here. I think that they are going to do the right thing. But I get that. I think Kelly makes a very good point. I think people who like Manimal, who says, that we're big kiss boop guys, we're pathetic.
Well, he says you're a big kiss ass, as Vic Carucci. Guys are pathetic. You tell us how tough Trent was till he got traded. Now he sucks. That's not remotely close. Dude's got to clean his ears out. That is not what we've said whatsoever. We have given assessment after what we didn't start talking. What for the last several weeks?
By the way,
this is a great player, and he's. I wrote the piece I wrote about him for the cover piece for the opening game against Miami. Was centered around what he had to work on his education as a rookie, that it wasn't a sterling, glorious rookie year. That we went over all the things he had to work on, including being on time for meetings, eating right, being kind of more mature about how he went about his business, paying more attention to following blocks. That wasn't a story about, you know, the next Adrian Peterson. That was a story about a guy who's dissatisfied, and rightfully so, over his rookie season and had to work on it. It was under the heading of the education of a rookie. And that's just what it embodied. None of us has gotten on here and said anything of the sort. And we've been honest, I believe, and straightforward in our assessments on a game-to-game thing. But Manimal, if that's what you hear, that's what you hear. But you know what? I appreciate you're listening. So your ears need to be a little cleaner, but you are tuning in. So that's good for us.
The ironic thing to me is the day somebody said, I remember somebody came on Twitter and said that I was throwing all the Browns players under the bus. And I went through the stats on Mitchell Schwartz, the stats on Greg Little, and the stats on Trent Richardson. And I can tell you 100% I had no knowledge of Trent Richardson being traded. And if you thought I did, you just listen to my Sirius show when I found out he was traded and I couldn't speak for 5 minutes. And that was Wednesday. And on Wednesday, I laid out the case for why I was disappointed with Trent Richardson and why I wanted to see more. So it isn't because he just got traded. If you go back and listen to Wednesday's show, I run through that. I talked about the fact that the only person who had fewer runs of more than 15 yards than Trent Richardson with at least 200 carries last year was Mykel Lashore, and he is now a healthy and active on the Detroit Lions football team. That's what I said. And so that is before we said they got traded. Did I have huge expectations for him this offense? Yes, because of what North Turner can do. But also at the same time, he hasn't lived up to those. And it's only two games. And I don't think it's a totally fair assessment in two games. But now he's been in the NFL for over a season. And I'll tell you what, LeSean McCoy as a rookie was making highlight reel plays. Adrian Peterson was dominant right away as a rookie. And it also goes, we're also talking about the fact that LeSean McCoy, who I think might be the best running back in the NFL right now, is on a 1-2 team. He was on a team last year that did not do well. And I don't think it's just more of a general change in the nature of the NFL that running backs are not as important as they once were. And that's why I think that this trade is palatable to me, as opposed to if they had traded Joe Hayden for a late first-round pick, I wouldn't have been okay with that.
It's called football assessment. That's what we're providing here. Tyrone in Cleveland with us. Ask us a football question. Oh. Okay, Scott in Cleveland, then. Let's go to him.
How you guys doing?
Good. How are you, Scott?
Good. You know, I'm okay with the trade. I just, one thing that I haven't heard anyone talk about, especially you guys who get in front of the coaches and interview them and so forth, is how the trade went down and how Trent was notified of it. You know, the fact that he found out on the radio, to me, is, you know, if the story's true, just doesn't speak well to the type of guys that are running the show. And, you know, I don't just root for a team. If I'm going to root for the Browns, I also root for the guys I like in the front office and like the coaches. And I have to like the guys to want to root for them. And, you know, if that's kind of how they operate, I have trouble rooting for the Browns regardless of the players. I just wanted to hear what your thoughts were on that.
Sure. I if that is exactly precisely how it went down, that's the version Trent presented, I don't like it either. My understanding, however, is that when you do make a deal like this, at the very least, the player's agent is in the loop in the discussion, because you've got to go through the whole process of when you make a trade, people think you're actually trading physical human beings. You're not. You're trading contracts. This is all about a transaction that involves a contract from one that you are in possession of as a club, which the Browns formerly were with Richardson. And now that gets transferred. The terms of that deal, what he's paid, et cetera, goes over to the next team. So the Colts have that. So that's not done without somebody representing the player in the loop on that. And it just doesn't happen that way. So whether it is, you know, not seeing a text or not answering the phone at a particular time. I mean, I'm carrying two cell phones. Nathan, you're in touch in one form or another. And as I understand it, I mean, he was as in touch as anybody with that regard. He's got a large circle of friends and family and everybody around him. So I don't know how it happened that they didn't get through to him. I think a text was there from head coach Rob Chudzinski, that I believe he said he didn't get to respond because Rob couldn't get through to him by phone. Rob said he tried to call him by phone. I have no reason to doubt that. And then got through with a text. So I don't know. I mean, hearing about it on the radio happening that way is not ideal. But if to portray this as there was no effort whatsoever to communicate with him, and that the only way he would have found out about it is through the media, which is not the way you want to have that happen, then my sense is that I'm not buying the accuracy of that, but I'm also telling you that I would not like that either, as much as you hate it. So, all right, let's we want to go. Oh, you had something else. You had. All right, you know what? Yeah, we've got. I know we got a lot of calls to get to. All right, we'll get to as many as we can. I know a lot of this is the Twitter's blowing up here too, and we're going to deal with that. But Bernie Kosar is joining the show in a little bit. So let's hear from Bernie. He'll be coming up in a little bit on this Football Friday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.